Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Des Bishop Podcast. Apologies in advance for my voice. I'm a little hoarse. But excuse me. This will be just a quick intro because I want to keep editing to a minimum. We have a great chat with Rory Albanese, former executive producer of The Daily Show. Regular comic at the Comedy Cellar, and this chat happens at the Olive Tree, which is above the Comedy Cellar, so a little bit of background noise, and I just wanted to chat to somebody about the state of American politics, the horrible thing that happened in Florida, and just the sort of tribal divided nature of political discourse in today's day and age. So I asked Rory if he would chat to me about that, and I think it's great. I'm just doing a simple edit on this one because it's been a crazy week for me. I'm sort of moving into this new apartment. Plus my mother had a TAVR procedure on her heart. So she's in the hospital at the moment. Now the procedure was successful and she's fine, but I've been driving back and forth from Port Washington, Long Island, back into Manhattan for shows and also dealing with deliveries and things for the new apartment. So I didn't have a hell of a lot of time this week. So I was glad that we got this chat in with Rory. I'm sorry we didn't get it up on Thursday, but first thing Friday morning, it's there. And so enjoy the chat, and I'll talk to you afterwards. Perfect. So I'm using you.
Yeah, for what?
Well, you know, I often want to express my opinions about American politics, but, you know, sometimes I do this on my own.
Your own podcast?
No, like I just chat to myself.
Oh, you do? And that's the podcast?
Sometimes.
That's good. I like that.
Often I chat to people, but sometimes I...
Just you rambling about the stuff you want to ramble about.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But particularly with American politics, I don't feel like I'm informed enough often.
Really? Because you spend so much time in Ireland?
And also because I second guess myself in terms of my opinions.
You do?
But I felt like today was an important day.
Yeah.
And
just to say that, like, I don't know anyone who's not sane and doesn't occasionally second guess their opinions. Like anyone who's that locked in to their beliefs on everything, it's like a red flag to me. You're like, really, you can't. There's no opportunity to like have a conversation and maybe like change your mind. I mean, that's really the problem we have. Is there's two sides that are so locked in their thinking.
You know? Well, I text you so that in terms of like lately, what I've wanted to talk about but just haven't. I guess I just haven't had that energy to try to express it is how can we make sense of this almost like tribal division in American politics, but kind of around the world that everybody is so entrenched in their opinions.
Yeah.
Why that's happened, I don't know. I mean, I would blame the internet, blah, 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 but that's not important.
Yeah, I think I would blame the internet too.
But what's important is like, what the fuck are we going to do?
I don't know, man. And it's funny because I think about this a lot, right? Which is like everybody always thinks they're right. Meaning like ISIS thinks they're right, right? Don't know what I mean?
No,
like if you talk to a dude from ISIS, he'd be like, here's why I feel that way.
Yes.
Like he'd be like, I was a 14-year-old kid in Iraq and I was going to school one day and then the U.S. dropped a bomb and killed my whole family and now all I want to do is kill Americans. And he'd be like, oh, yeah, I guess from your perspective, so in other words, everyone thinks they're right. And that's what is, and the problem now with the politics of the country is people are just digging in deeper and deeper. Mm. So we're really at this, like, it's really become, there's no such thing as compromise anymore. Now it's just sort of like, it's like the left.
Either you're winning or you're losing.
Yeah, but I also think and I don't think it's one side's to blame more than the other. It's like, I still don't understand, and I think it's one of the best things about being a comedian is like, but I always try to look at every topic and think about it. You know, like, I don't just go, well, I'm an independent as far as voting goes, because I was 18 and I had no idea what Republican or Democrat meant when I was 18. So yeah. I picked independent because that sounded like cool, you know. But I try to think that way. I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, I do think you're allowed to be like pro-choice and pro-Second Amendment at the same time. Like, I think you're allowed to have mutually, sort of mutually opposing sides in your own viewpoints. Like, I don't see why. Like, it's like the right in this country is like, here's what we believe in. We believe in God, guns, and the left's like, here's what we believe in. I'm like, well, I think some of the stuff the left believes in is bullshit, and I think some of the stuff the right believes in is bullshit, depending on the issue. Like, I was doing, Mike Yard is another comedian here. He's very funny. He and I were meeting with this group. We were going to host their charity event for them. It's this charity. It's a group that does, like, urban. It's called the Urban Arts something or other. And they have
bullshit.
It's a charity. It's for kids, inner city kids who, like, have trouble in school, and they bring them art programs. It's a great cause, you know. Yeah. But we were there, and we were talking about the charity event, and they were saying they didn't want to use... Because, you know, they try to raise money, so most charity events have an auction. But they were like, we don't use the word auction. And I was like, what do you mean you don't use the word auction? They're like, you know, it's a sensitive word. And Mike Yard, being a black dude, is like, why is it a sensitive word? Because it's slave auctions? And they're like, you know, we have a lot of, like, you know, black kids in the program, African-American kids, and we find that to be a very... And I'm like, you're telling me you don't say the word auction when you do an auction? Like, you have a dude from Sotheby's coming in. They do. They have a guy from Sotheby's coming in to do an auction. I go, you know, his business card is going to say auctioneer on it, because that's what he fucking does. I couldn't even believe it. I actually said to them, and obviously, like, I hate Trump more than one could, I think, but I said to them, I go, when you tell me that, I'm like, I want to vote for Trump. That's how mad that makes me. So that's what I mean. It's like both sides make these stupid choices that, like, get hung up on their own bullshit. Yes. And they get hung up on their own.
Well, everyone's nonsense. Hung up on their own bullshit.
And that, you know, like, the gun thing is that in this country. The gun thing is that. Like, it's
well,
like,
I want to talk about that because that's, like, ridiculously topical.
Yeah, but right.
I mean, I was going to do it the other way around, but since we're talking about this.
No, we could
first,
do it the other way around.
No,
I'm
I
saying
like
it's
this.
Just, but I'm saying all of those issues to me are like, they become these entrenched issues. So, like, every time the left does something like, you can't say the word auction, the right's like, I want 5 more guns. In other words, that's how it works. It's all knee-jerk reactions to each side. And I get it. Like, as a human, I'm like, how many words are you going to take away from me as a person in a country that's supposed to have free speech? Which means you're supposed to be allowed to go out and say whatever the fuck you want, however horrible and horrific it is, other than yelling fire in a crowded theater.
Well, I did like somebody was saying the other day on the radio that it is important to make clear the difference between free speech and hate speech.
Couldn't agree more. So, couldn't agree more. But the question then becomes, who's the panel of judges who decides that? Because,
well,
in other words,
in some instances, I think it's quite clear.
The way I've always deciphered it is, once I understand that a group of people is legitimately offended by something, like for example, like growing up, everything. I grew up on Long Island, not too far from Queens, where you grew up.
Yeah.
But it's like, everything was gay. Like, anything that you didn't like, anything that was stupid was gay. And, like, the F word for gay, you know, fag, which I don't really say, but I'm saying it because we're talking about it as a discussion. I never say that word anymore. That's probably the first time I've said it in, like, 10 years. Because I found out from gay people that it offended them. And I was like, well, I don't want to say... I never knew it was offensive because I... You know, grew up in like a straight white guy bubble where like me and my buddies did whatever we wanted. And as I was exposed to more of the world and different groups of people and different types of people, as I got older and opened my eyes to things, I was like, well, I never want to make people feel bad. So I would never say that. But at the same time, when you start to make things up, which the left does, I'm using that word auction as an example.
Yeah, I mean,
now,
is
this
it
is
the
two
left
white
or
guys.
Is it the,
this is two is it, white guys in a room who run this program telling me.
Oh, it was two white guys?
Yeah, telling me they don't use the word auction.
Well, that's ridiculous.
And I look at Yard and I go, and Yard being like just the funniest, like loudest black dude ever, he's like, what? You know, he's like, what the fuck? And it was just funny because he was the only black dude in the room, even with his, you know, urban thing.
Well, I mean, I could understand if the origin of the word auction came from slave auctioning.
No, it doesn't.
But I don't believe that's the origin of the word auction.
Absolutely not. Yeah, so, but then I was like, so can you say cotton? Like, what other words? In other words, what I said that. I was like, can I say cotton? Because that's a word that...
Mike Yard laughed at that, right?
Yeah. And then I touched his sweater. I'm like, what is this, cotton? I'm saying... And then I was actually... Then I touched it, and I was like, actually, that's a nice sweater, you know? But that's what I mean. In other words, like, that's a... So there is a slippery slope argument. So the right in this country who hates that, their knee-jerk reaction is to go hard the other way. And you know on stage as a stand-up, it's very hard not to. We're on stage here, like the Comedy Cellar, which is the noise you hear in the background, and we say something that's not even controversial, and the crowd groans. And all you want to do is be like, you fucking pussies, you know? But you can't say that word anymore, because pussy means weak, and it reflects negatively on women. And then I found out women don't like that word. I'm like, all right, I'll give that one up too. Yeah. You know, so you have to learn, you have to adapt with the times. But then if those times start to get so carried away that you can't...
Yeah, it's stifling.
Yeah, it's stifling. So then you have this other group, this Trump group, that's pushing hard against that. But they're pushing so hard against it that it does start to feel like hate speech and white supremacy and unwelcoming other groups and talking about white nations and getting rid of Muslim people. And but like, what's so funny to me is the right wing in this country, they're all like the tough guys, or at least they think they're the tough guys. They think they're badasses. You know, they like own guns and all that stuff. But they're really like the most chicken shit dudes. They want a wall. And they want guns. Like,
and they're always offended. They're actually always
offended.
They're always getting upset.
Totally.
At people not agreeing with them.
All the time. And they're offended if you make fun of God.
And they're offended if you make fun of Trump.
Yeah. That's what I mean. So
suddenly it's unpatriotic to disagree with the president.
Well, by the
Whereas for 8 years, they shat all over Obama.
Shat. They didn't even... Trump led a movement claiming Obama wasn't from America. I mean, he literally led that movement, and now he's the president. That's the most disrespectful thing you can say.
Now it's unpatriotic to not clap if you don't agree with his...
With him. So
both sides.
Yeah, they're both... Yeah,
it's
but
both sides.
Yeah, they're nuts. Both sides are completely nuts.
It is completely nuts.
So what happens is, and like, I think the media plays a role. Like, so now CNN, all day long, they're trying to find something stupid Trump said.
Yes.
And it's like, why don't you just let the dude be president? Let him be president. Let this investigation, whatever they're doing, and then... Like, stop treating him. Like, the more they treat him like an object of, like, fear and crazy and say he's mentally ill and he's unfit to lead, the more they're charging up all those people to defend him. It's like,
yes.
it's literally a Cold War, but, like, it's starting to escalate to that, like, you know, that point of, like, you know, call to arms. That's what it feels like. I don't think it'll ever get there because I think we're too fat and lazy to actually fight.
But the amazing thing is that, because, you know, for some reason, CNN and Fox get so much of the focus. But, like, if you listen to radio in your car, 75% of the radio is right-wing radio.
Oh, yeah.
And that's been going for 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
30 years of a relentless negative message about anything that's centrist or,
yep,
quote-unquote, liberal. Right? So that's been going on for such a long time. Now, suddenly, it's like, oh, we're going at Trump. We need to stop that. We're just charging them up. Where, as an actual fact, there's been media nonstop, like one-sided media nonstop on both sides going for a very long time.
Yeah.
You know, like, I always think that in Ireland, they have this very annoying broadcasting law where, you know, you have to balance the argument. So
it's a law.
Yeah, so if we were actually like an official radio show right now, like, and you said that you were anti-abortion... Or sorry, you. Well, probably better to say that you think if you were arguing that it's crazy that it's illegal to have an abortion in Ireland,
right?
I would have to, within a reasonable period of time, bring on a pro-life argument,
so that everyone can hear both sides.
Yes,
but they try
but
to
it's
do
annoying,
that. They try to do
but
that.
But it's actually, I actually really believe in it because we don't have a media. People complain about the media atmosphere in Ireland, but in Ireland they don't have a media climate like they do here, where it's like, pick your poison and listen to it all day.
Yeah, it's literally a big business here. It's a big business. It's like, you know, the whole game. The thing that drives me nuts. Well, first of all, there's a few things that drive me nuts about cable news. I also worked at the Daily Show for like 14 years.
That's why you're
so,
here, man.
No, but I'm saying, so I watch a lot of cable news. Fox,
that's why I'm asking you about politics, yeah, but not Leonard Utz.
Well, that's fair. Fox News does a thing where they refer to the mainstream media all the time. They always say the mainstream media.
They're the highest rated cable news network.
And then they go to commercial and they're like, the number one news network in the world. And you go, well, how can you be number one and not mainstream? So that right there is like the contradiction of all contradictions. And then CNN.
But that's the whole... A whole right-wing sort of
the
picture
joke.
That they paint is that...
That they're victims.
It's all against us. Yeah,
of course. And then the
CNN.
Other joke about all these networks is that they're on the same television rating system as entertainment broadcast television. So in other words, the same way like a sitcom or whatever, Walking Dead, or like whatever show is on TV, the same way those people make money, which is ratings and then selling ads, is the same way CNN makes money. Which means, or Fox News or MSNBC. So their goal is to get as many viewers as possible. So
but that's why they never stop going on about Trump. Because
right, but in other words, they're just doing what works. They're not reporting. Like, in other words, if what gave them ratings was filming a steaming pile of dog shit, that would be what would be on all day. Wolf Blitz would be like, it's still steaming. The dog shit's still... Like, that's all that would be on. Because they don't really care about anything other than generating the money. Which is why, like, you know... The Trump thing for them was probably the most lucrative thing that's ever happened to them. And in my opinion, CNN got the dude elected. They gave him 24/7 wall-to-wall coverage.
Non-stop.
He got more coverage than any other candidate by an order of magnitude. All they did was, they were obsessed with him. All they did was talk about him. All they did was laugh at him. All they did was charge his base, fuel his base. And
but honestly, I'm part of the problem because at that time particularly, I couldn't get enough of it.
Me too.
I literally...
I still can't.
Couldn't I know I can't
it's like
stop
a drug,
watching
dude. I'm
it.
Like Google I'm like Trump I'm like what's happening
get out of here
what did he say
I Google Trump 5 times a day
dude I go on Twitter I'm like Trump. What did he say what stupid thing did he do I'm obsessed with it
it's probably let me see
it's like it's
either it's Trump or Des Bishop those are the I want to see I do that dude that's so funny I do that all the
time I'm just like I want to know all the time what dumb thing he did because it really has become every I'd say
and there's
4 hours,
like,
every
noticed,
4 to 8 hours.
Have you noticed that there's like a few like rabid Trump supporters? Rory's food is right. You can eat while
I'm
we chat.
Eat. Yeah, you're going to hear me
I'll chat over your chewing.
Well, I don't know what the broadcast laws in Ireland are about chewing.
You're doing me, well, you know. I put up a Facebook recently with a panda eating a carrot. And did the ridiculous sound of chewing. But there's always like a few big Trump tweeters. Some of them are supporters, like that guy Paul Michael Thomas or something?
Well, I created a fake Twitter account. I have my main Twitter account at Rory Albanese, if you know what I mean. And then, but I created a fake one that is like a MAGA, like a fake Trump supporter.
Oh, really?
And there's like a whole other side to Twitter. So I'm constantly trying to like get engaged in conversation with the Trump supporters because I'm obsessed with the way they think. And lately, I spend more of my time on that account than my normal one. Because
what is your fake one?
I can't tell you that. It's going to blow my cover, bro. Serpico.
Shit.
I'm like Serpico.
That's a pity because I really want to. Well, you can tell me.
I'll tell you.
Oh,
yeah. But it really is the kind of thing where I have not had an opportunity lately to like not want to be on that because the stuff these people say is so racist and so crazy.
It's crazy.
And I'll say stuff to them pretending to be on their side like, yeah, I agree. I'm like, but it. I'm not sure what that has to do with Muslims, you know? Like, I try to, like, bait them into, like,
maybe if the FBI spent less time protecting Hillary Clinton than trying to undermine President Trump, they'd have more time to prevent mass shootings. That's the type of shit.
Who wrote that?
That was Democrats for Trump. You know, that's like a...
Yeah, the fake...
That's a Russian bot.
I mean...
Probably.
There's so many of that kind of thing out there now.
Oh, so much, man. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all the usual suspects. Amy Siskin, she's always tweeting anti-Trump stuff. And then I'm trying to find, like, a good... Oh, this guy Kyle Griffin, he's always tweeting. There's a few that the big ones that always show up, you know. There's another
Trump
guy,
supporters.
Scott Dworkin.
Yeah, he's anti-Trump. And then
he's
there's
a big anti-Trump
Jack
guy.
Jack Probiasic or something.
Yeah, and, you know, whatever, man. I just don't... I don't know... Well, I mean, I've always thought that America needed a third party.
Yeah, but the problem with the third party is all it does is make one of the other two parties lose.
No, but I mean, I actually, like, I feel that the system needs to evolve, that actually they might end up with, like, the European system of, like, power sharing. And in other words, that, like, at times, you know, you can't just divide society left and right, you know?
Yeah, you're
like,
right.
At times, I would like there to be a bit more of a... Just some sort of balance where it's not. Don't worry about chewing into the mic.
Bernie Sanders kind of was that.
Mm. But it was.
People really liked Bernie Sanders. I wasn't a big fan of Bernie Sanders.
I was a slow burn on Bernie. I actually liked all his policies. I just actually, my problem was I wasn't wild about Bernie.
Mm-hmm.
But I like all his policies. I mean, essentially his policies are just basic European social democracy.
Yeah.
In Europe, it's not even, it's not controversial, his policies.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very simple social democracy, you know?
Well, we've created a sort of make-believe paradigm in this country that's, and a lot of people believe in it, that we're this Christian, God-based, white nation, and that our job is to continue to have a, you know, God-fearing public that owns guns. Like I said, you know, it's God, faith, it's all patriotism. And what patriotism is to them, being patriotic is never questioning the president when it's the one you like, which is really the least patriotic thing you can do. Because the most patriotic thing you can do, which is the way the country was founded, is always truth to power, always truth to power. That's what the whole country was founded on. You're not going to lie to us. You're not going to be a king. Like, we're going to call you out. That's why we have the free press. Like, that's what the whole, that's what the most patriotic thing you could do is question the dude in charge. But, you know, everyone's a hypocrite.
And that's how opposition, like, all governments have, like, opposition.
Yep.
Like, the opposition holds the ruling party to account, mm-hmm. and that's the process. But for some reason, because we've become so tribal, this is the whole thing. Like, to me, it's like people get so offended when somebody has a different opinion that it's like, how can you suggest? And then it becomes this libtards and all this mm-hmm. language
yep.
that, and fascists, and, you know, like everyone hates.
Yeah, and everyone's Hitler now.
Yeah.
Being Hitler used to mean something. You know what I mean? Meant you were Hitler, you know?
Yeah.
Now it's like, you're Hitler. But I don't know, man. I really don't know what the end game on it will be. Because even to me, the things that always brought the country together were national tragedies. And now we have national tragedies every six weeks. And nobody cares. All it does is make everybody fight.
Yeah,
and once the lines are drawn in the sand on any issue, everyone runs to their side and goes, well, this is how I feel. In other words, there's never an ability to have two mutually exclusive thoughts. For example, right now, we just had this school shooting, another school shooting, which we have all the time. So the left says we need gun control. And the right says it's about mental illness. And what about the fact that maybe they're both right? Maybe we have two mutually existing problems, which is we have a mental illness issue because we don't have funding, because guys like Trump don't want healthcare funding. So we have a lot of people with mental illness wandering the streets. That's why we have homeless problems. They close down all the mental institutions that the state's paid for because we don't pay for them because they don't want, you know, that's the joke. These guys are like, we've got to fix this problem. Like, yeah, well, you guys are the one who keep defunding it. And on the other side, we have a serious fucking gun issue in this country, which is you can just get a gun. You just walk into a place and buy. I mean, New York City is one of the few places you can't do that. Like, to get a gun in New York City, even to go shoot a gun, go to a shooting range is, like, near impossible.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Well, I looked into it. There's like a 45-page document you have to fill out. It takes a year to process if they accept your application, just to get a license to go. And guess what? I'm like, I don't really want to shoot a gun that bad, you know?
Yeah, but it's a turn. Take a bite. I feel guilty that, you're such a great talker, but you're not able to, like, have a few bites. So let me fill a gap while you take a few bites so you can enjoy your salad. Because, you know, most people listen to this in Ireland, and most Europeans cannot fathom why America has this problem with guns. Like, it seems to make no sense. You see the great Jim Jeffries routine. You know, like, it's just very obvious to us that a society shouldn't have the access to guns that American society has.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, with the NRA and the power that the NRA has, you can understand why some people defend guns. But I do feel that it has become tied into this tribal thing where it's only going to get worse because people have now decided that is one of the issues that makes you a right-wing conservative, is you believe in gun ownership.
And the sort of the joke of it is, look, the way I always try to explain it to Europeans is simple. Like, the country was built on a revolution, right? So the idea of, like, we have to be able to overthrow the dudes in charge at any time is built into the DNA of the country.
Yeah, but Ireland is a republic because of a revolution too. Mm-hmm. An armed revolt against the same fucking country, by the way.
I know. More recently.
Yeah. But, you know, there was never a sense of thinking, guns need to remain in society.
Yeah, well, but my point is, however that crept into the DNA, which is the second thing they put in the Constitution, which was not helpful on the Founding Fathers' part. But the other part of it is, it's the same way, like, when, especially, like, with British people, I'll say, like, we can't wrap our heads around that. Like, you have a queen. Like, I went to London over the summer to visit my girlfriend's sister who lives there. And we went, they happen to have Buckingham Palace open. And I walked through the palace, and all I did was get mad the whole time.
Yeah.
All I did was get mad. I couldn't even believe that people who live in that country, who have been on austerity measures at times, allow this decadent palace full of priceless bullshit to go on display every now and then, and they get to walk through a few feet of it and look at it. I'm like, sell this shit. It's like when you go to the Vatican, you know, and they have a treasure room in the Vatican. I'm like, why don't you feed Africa? You're the church.
Yeah,
why don't you melt down some of those golden scepters?
Or redress some abuse victims.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
In other words, like, those are the kinds of things that's, like, to me, the gun problem in this country. It's like these weird, embedded inconsistencies in the system that everyone's like, yeah, well, they just have a treasure room. And you're like, what do you mean you just have a treasure room? Like, why would you just have a treasure room? Like, you don't need a treasure room. The Pope is a Jesuit. He's supposed to, like, wash people's feet. You don't need treasure at all, you know? And that's, like, what it is here. It's like, they're like, yeah, we just have to have guns. And the problem with it is that they're so easily accessible, and these guys won't even acknowledge that the guns play a role in the shootings. They're like, well, if he wasn't mentally ill, I'm like, yeah, but if he was mentally ill and all he had was a ping pong paddle, he wouldn't have killed 17 people in 17 seconds.
It's so obvious.
I mean, the weapon is a weapon of death, and he used it to kill people.
I mean, there's no argument. That's the crazy
thing. There's no argument. But the argument is just like,
in the rest of the world, there's no argument. It's only an argument in the United States, and that is because of the cultural acceptance of gun ownership.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I mean, I'm not in the... Privately, I am in the business of thinking that the acceptance of Islamophobia has become a very negative thing in society. But, you know, I keep my mouth shut a lot of the time because I just don't like the hassle. You know, people get very emotional. But at the same time, you never hear mental illness brought up when some fucking lunatic Muslim shoots up some people in California, for example. Even though it's kind of a similar thing.
Absolutely.
This guy is mentally ill, but He got radicalized to I guarantee you that there's elements of radicalization that happened to him online. You know,
was.
In terms
he,
of
he
this,
like
this
a, he was in a white nationalist hate group.
Yeah, and he was also probably became fascinated with the idea of mass shooting. You know, and that develops over time. And even though terrorism, they'll say terrorism is separate, and I'll listen to arguments why terrorism is separate, or you know, because it becomes some sort of like religious ideology that you want to kill infidels. But I feel like. You could also argue that some of these Muslims are mentally ill, susceptible to brainwashing.
Listen.
Same shit.
The joke about that, like, terrorism thing, is they don't want to use the word terrorism unless it's a Muslim. Anyone who brings terror to a group of people is a terrorist. A dude walking to a school shooting people is a terrorist. It's the same fucking thing, man.
And as a white man, I want to denounce violence against school children. Which I just think is funny because when Muslims do something, they ask Muslims to denounce terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
But no one has asked us white men today. I mean, listen, we're the worst.
I know.
White men. Over the last 6 months, there's been nothing but news about the bad shit that white men...
I know,
men...
and it ain't helping us on the road, you know, doing comedy. Two straight white guys doing comedy.
I know. I mean, we joke about that sometimes. But in all fairness, it's like... a relentless amount of negative shit about white men, but not once has anybody come out and been like, hey, I think we need to stop white men coming into this country. You know, like, it just goes to show that, like, deciding that, like, you should have a Muslim ban is so fucking ridiculous.
I know, but it's the joke of not all Muslims are terrorists, but all terrorists are Muslims. And it's like, well, that's only because you classify everything Muslims do as terrorism and you never classify white dudes as terrorists.
Exactly.
And if you did, then all terrorists wouldn't be Muslims. Terrorists would just be... I mean, we've had terror attacks in this country. Remember the dude who did years ago, Oklahoma City?
Oh, yeah, Timothy McVeigh.
McVeigh. Man. A white dude. Blew up a fucking bunch of kids and people in an office building. I mean, we just... I don't know, man. I mean, this is the first time in my life. I'm 40 years old. I've lived here my whole life. It's the first time in my life I'm just going, I'm out of ideas.
Me
know?
Too.
And
man.
I'm like,
that's
and
how
I
feel.
And it really does feel like the country is fundamentally broken. And just electing a guy like Trump to office and having all these people defend him nonstop when it's clear. Look, as a New Yorker, we've had this dude in our lives the whole time. He's a piece of shit. He's been a piece of shit since day one. His whole family is pieces of shit.
Con artist.
His kids are pieces of shit. He's a flim-flam con artist, dude. He's a money launderer. He's
narcissist.
Narcissist. Megalomaniac. He's a terrible person. And now, look, you can say what you want about guys like George Bush or Obama, whatever politics you're on, but this dude goes beyond politics. George Bush was a right-wing neoconservative politician. So he had his... generic template that he was going to run the country on, and he did, you know, and that's what he did. And Obama did his generic template. Like, neither one of those guys were very different, really, if you look at what they did. Like, Obama was also dropping drone strikes on kids, like, yeah, you know, and they all do that shit. But Trump is not, the whole idea is he's against the system, but he's not smart enough to like fix the system. He's just like a wrecking ball. And he's just knocking it all over. Like, he doesn't even have
people. No idea what he's doing.
He has no idea what he's doing. He doesn't even have people in positions. Half the jobs aren't even filled.
No, he's like, actually, he's
we've
really
had all
useless.
These Amtrak train crashes recently. The dude he put in charge of Amtrak safety is like some dude he knows who's never worked in the trains before. And like all of a sudden, Amtrak trains are like flipping off the tracks. And it's like, yeah, because you have like a dentist running it. Like, he's an absolute buffoon. And what's absurd about it is, to me, again, it's not about politics. It's like, it's just about common sense. But there's a lot of people in this country that just resent, you know, New York. They resent, they call it elitism, all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And it's this feeling of like, we're these Northeast elitists who think we know everything and we don't know everything. But, you know, I don't think I know more than other people, but I do think I live in a place that accepts a lot of different types of people. And unless you live in a place like that, you don't really have a leg to stand on. Also, we live in a place where terrorists actually target. If you live in like a farm in Kansas, you don't get a say in how we deal with terrorism. Like, you have a barn. Nobody gives a shit about you. Like, every day I'm on the subway underground with 8 million people. Like, I should get 2 votes on how we handle terrorism versus your 0 votes. because you have like eight machine guns and 40 acres to yourself, you know? So
yeah, and I mean, people are so concerned about being right. Like, all these Republicans, I mean, whatever, the whole system is corrupt, but like, they went against Obama at every turn just because they wanted him to lose.
Mm-hmm.
They you know, and in the end, they bring in this corporate tax cut, which, you know, part of me feels like actually the corporate tax cut maybe wasn't a bad idea, but Obama wanted a corporate tax cut, 28%. They blocked him. You know, we could have had this corporate tax cut. We could have got some of that money back into the economy years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But they blocked it. And they only blocked it because they weren't going to get credit. Yeah, they hated Obama. They weren't going to get credit for it. Now it's came in. It's came in at a bad time, actually.
Yep.
It was more important back in 2013 when Obama wanted to bring it in.
I do think, though, with Trump, that the Russia thing is going to start to yield information. I don't think it's going away.
No, I don't think it's going away. Well, he's also made so many. I mean, he's definitely lacking in some intelligence because, like, I don't know how powerful he thinks he is, but as much as it was a miracle that he got elected, he is not going to be able to tear down institutions based on his, you know, will.
We'll see.
Well, those institutions are pretty powerful. Like, I feel like they'll drop him.
Like that dude, Robert Mueller, who's investigating him. That guy's legit, man. Like, he's for real. He's been in law enforcement his whole life. He's got, like, a pristine record. Takes himself seriously. He has not been out once doing a speech in public. You have not seen him on camera. He's not showboating. He's not making this about him. He's just knee-deep in, like, documents, and he's interviewing people. And at the end of the thing, if he doesn't find anything, there's nothing to find.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine that if the FBI and that level of investigation and teams of lawyers are looking through Donald Trump's entire life, they're not going to find some shit.
Yeah, I mean, they got to find something. The guy wouldn't release his tax returns. Why not?
Yeah. I mean, he's a shady-ass dude. So who the hell knows what they'll find or not, but that's one of the reasons I'm just every day I'm riveted.
Well, right now it's just such a train wreck that as much as the economy is, you know, like, doing okay, it's such a train wreck week after week, scandal after scandal. I just don't know if we could handle 4 years of this.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't think we could handle 6 months of it, and we're already over a year in. Listen, I keep saying this to people. To me, this is like, this is America going through like a crash test, or like, you know, the way you test a car. It's like, if after this dude is done, the country's still standing, we got a good country. You know what I mean? Holy shit, they built a good country. I don't know. You know, and it's like, that's how I look at it. Like, if after this is done, like, the dollar still has value, and the lights still turn on when you hit the switch, and, like, you know, there's still gasoline, and all the things that we just gotten used to as a first world country still exist, and the government is still intact in 8 years or 4 years from now, whenever this dude's fucking done. Holy shit, well built.
Please let it be no more than four.
I know. I mean, but who knows, man? I mean, I didn't think it could be. I didn't think he could win. I mean, I just thought it was going to be like a laughing stock joke, even on election night. Remember, he won like Kentucky, and I like put a joke on like Instagram or something that was like, "Hey, look, Trump's the president of Kentucky," you know. And then like 2 hours later, I'm like, "Whoa, Trump's going to be the president
of the United States of America.
He's going to be the president." Yeah.
So I mean, I don't want to keep you any longer. You know, you're eating your salad. You've been very gracious in, you know, breaking it down. People, I haven't indulged that much in a good Trump stuff on the podcast. But mm-hmm. People appreciate it, you know.
Well, first of all, I love Dez. Let me just be clear. So I was happy to do this. I'm sorry I was eating, but I gotta eat.
You know, it's listen, it's...
I like talking about this stuff, man. I wish
record,
I had...
It's quarter past 11 at night.
I don't think anyone has answers to it. I think the media just does what we're doing, just talk it through. But it's wait and see, you know. And in all honesty, I'm rooting for success. Like, I want the country to be okay. People used to ask us that on The Daily Show. Like, oh, are you guys upset, like, if George Bush doesn't win it won't be harder for you to not have George Bush in office? And we're like, we'd rather the show get canceled and the country be okay. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's not, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a much bigger thing at risk here. And it's not, you know, comedy or anything else. The bigger thing at risk is like, you know, and look,
what's good for society?
Yeah, like if this dude somehow like figures out a way to like calm the tensions of the country, which he hasn't even attempted to do, and figures out a way to, like, bring everyone together and, like, tone down the rhetoric and tone down the, like, white supremacy, which he probably very easily could do if he just went out, made some statements, if he showed up to places when incidents occur. Like, he's probably playing golf. He should go to Florida. He'd just do something that a human would do.
Well, blatant hypocrisy, it's almost, the hypocrisy is so blatant, it's almost, I think it goes over people's heads. They can't even fathom that he complained about Obama's golfing, and he golfs more than any human being could golf.
How about the fact that he literally has a golden toilet in his apartment? Like, there's photos. Like, he's done tours of his apartments on, like, TV shows to show how rich he is. His bathroom made of gold. Gold bathroom, like Liberace. And he's the man of the people. And in other words, a lot of working class people are like, he's like us. I'm like you. The dude wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He had, like, a fucking golden scepter up his ass. That's how rich this dude was from the day he started. And somehow he's a man of the people.
And it's scandal. It's like, he literally, it's now come out that they gave hush money to a prostitute that he was banging right after his son was born.
Yeah.
And that just,
his wife, by the way, doesn't talk to him. Google Melania hates Donald and watch the video people put together. It's like her smacking his hand away, looking away, walking past him. Unbelievable.
But the funny thing is that, like, he's so insane. There's so much drama around him that doesn't even stick. Like, any other president, that would be like a talking point for weeks.
Yeah. Bill Clinton went down on that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it was not exactly the same, but still, you know, like, he it's a major scandal. I mean, he was in office at the time.
Bill Clinton was in office, the Monica Lewinsky thing, but there were like four other scandals about him and women. God, I can't remember.
Jennifer Flowers, Paula Jones
or something. There was all these other women whose names were coming up the whole time he was president. Women he gave hush money to. Women who complained about it. So,
well, I think Jennifer Flowers might have been Gary Hart, but
who knows? Doesn't really matter. You know, some woman who everyone, you know, was trying to pin, which she probably did. I mean, the guy's definitely, Bill Clinton was definitely like a total poon hound back in the day.
Yeah, well, now he's totally tainted. You know, amongst the Me Too stuff, Clinton's looking worse. But let me just ask you something before you go, because I'm interested. What did you actually do on The Daily Show?
Well, I started there right out of college in 1999 just as a production assistant. And I was doing stand-up, production assistants, just like stocking fridges with water, going on runs, that kind of stuff.
Swimming with sharks.
Yeah, and then I just stayed. Like, I mean, it took me years and years, but I climbed the ladder. Like, I started as, like, the footage guy, and then, you know, it took me about 7-8 years to get into the, like, position of actually having, like, creative authority and being in that kind of position. And then the last, like, 3-4 years I was there, I was executive producer.
Executive producer at The Daily Show.
Mm-hmm.
So were you involved in the decisions on who was going to be a contributor?
Yeah, I was involved in everything. When I became executive producer, I was, like, in charge of it, you know? But that was the last 3 or so years I was there of the 13. So the first 7 kind of sucked. The back 6 were better.
Nice.
But the last, and then I left. I left because I wanted to do stand-up, and I didn't want to work 12 hours a day. Like, I left a really high-paying, cool job running a TV show with Jon Stewart just because I was like, I can't.
You didn't leave because he was leaving?
No, I left like 2 years before he did.
Really?
I just had to go. I think part of me was like, I had to do it on my own. I had to, like, make the choice. I had to say, like, this ain't about the money. This is about what you want to do. And what I wanted to do was this. I mean, I'm on the road, man. I talk about it to people all the time. I'll be in, like, a shitty club. Not a shitty club. It's a good club, but, like, a shitty crowd. You know, like, I don't draw a lot of people. The crowds are nice, but they're not big. And I always said to them, I go, guys, I'm not going to lie to you, like, I had a crazy cool job, run a whole TV show, and then I left so I could do this, and I've never been happier. And
really?
I'm currently in a mall doing comedy with like 60 people in the room, and I've never been happier.
You keep bringing up the mall. You're talking about the one in Minnesota?
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
House
in the
of
mall.
Comedy in Minnesota. Yeah,
that's a really good club. But I mean, there's a lot of clubs in malls, and my point being that, like, you know, all of the things you do in your life, you know, you do for the reasons, you either do them for like the wrong reasons or the right reasons, and at some point you got to like look in the mirror and go, I'm going to be 40 soon. Am I going after the thing I wanted to go after?
Are you 40 yet?
No, I am 40. I'm saying when I left.
Oh, right. Yeah,
I was like, you know, probably 36. Well, no, when did I leave? 2013. So 5 years ago, I was like 35. And, you know, you just look in the mirror and just go, this isn't the dream. The dream was to, like, be performing and writing my own things and creating my own stuff, not just working for this place, you know, and...
Then you look in the mirror when you're 45 and you're like, what the fuck was I thinking?
Exactly. I'm 40 and I'm already going, man, you know what was good back then? The money. You know? When you're making money, you're like, money's not important. Then when you're not making money, you're like, man, you know what's important is money.
Fuck. Yeah. I got to fly economy.
Yeah, exactly. That's funny. I'm always crunching the numbers. I'm like, dude, I took a bit. That was the biggest hit was how I fly, where I stay. All of those things.
The worst thing you can ever do is fly business once. Never fly business and you'll never know.
No, I used
to. Because once you do it,
it's tough to go back. Yeah.
Fuck.
It's like dating a black woman. It's tough to go back. You know what I mean?
Is that acceptable?
Yeah. Once you go black, you never go back. I mean, is it acceptable or is it an expression? I don't know. I don't know. It's not like I said auction. I didn't say auction.
I'm not going to judge you, but I'm going to leave it out there for my listeners to make a decision on, is that acceptable, what you just said?
Yeah, I'd like to know.
But anyway... I very much appreciate you.
Yeah, man, happy to do it.
I've been talking to myself for the last 4 episodes.
That's cool.
So I'm happy to have had another human being.
Well, I'm happy to do it, man, anytime.
You've got the best projection. I mean, I hope to God I didn't have you on too loud.
Goodbye, Ireland. No, I hope not.
Hopefully we'll get you over there.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Yeah, the
I'd
Irish
love to go and do
appreciate some
man.
Good political
I would love to
humor.
Do that. All right, man.
In my own time, I'll do all your like stuff. But what's your Twitter's Rory Albanese?
Yeah, at Rory Albanese. All my stuff's just my name.
All of it is Rory Albanese.
Mm-hmm.
Rory's very Irish name.
It is very Irish name, but I'm not Irish. I'm Italian Jew.
Italian Jew.
Yeah, no Irish.
Wow.
But I do have an Irish name.
Good with money and the muscle to back it up.
Yeah. Kind of. Also, just like tense, you know.
Anxiety.
Yeah.
A lot of anxiety. All right, man.
All right, see you, buddy.
Peace. Thanks very much to everybody for listening. Thank you to Rory. Listen, guys, we'll be back next week. Who knows what we'll be talking about. Weekend of shows in the Comedy Cellar. There's a deal on for my Melbourne shows for the next few hours. It's 24 for 24. So it's $24 Australian dollars for tickets for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Until Saturday morning, Australian time. So just to let you know that exists, hit me up on Instagram at Des Bishop, facebook.com/Des Bishop. My Snapchat is Des Buffer. It's midnight, Thursday into Friday in New York City. I'm signing out. I'll talk to you guys soon. Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.